The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk. Ask the expert on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Standard Life. Retirement needs to be redefined. And as retirement experts, we're on a mission to do it.
Our Monday expert is Head of Wills and Estate Planning at Callan Tansey Solicitors, Christopher Callan. Christopher, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me on your show.
Lots of questions coming in. And let's start with a general one about power of attorney and why that could be important.
Well, there are two types of powers of attorney. There's the ordinary power of attorney, which is a person makes when they're of full sound mind, and which must be differentiated from an enduring power of attorney. So an enduring power of attorney is what we're going to deal with now, and that is a document you put in place to provide for the appointment of a person or persons of your choice to deal with your affairs if at some stage in the future you lack mental capacity.
Okay, and it's important that you pick someone to give that power, enduring power of attorney to, that you trust that they will abide by your wishes.
Absolutely. The choice of the person or persons, you can choose one person. There's no need to choose more than one person. However, I am of the view, in view of my own experience, that it's better to choose two. Have two people acting as the attorneys. They can act jointly or severally, but I think the power of attorney should specify that they act jointly. And it's important to choose people who you trust and who you feel will act as you would have acted if you had the capacity to do so. So in other words, they know you.
Okay, now questions coming in. If a divorced person dies without a will, who does their estate go to?
Generally, in the context of a divorce, the marriage has been sundered, so the former spouse is no longer your next of kin. So if you die without a will, your estate passes to your next of kin. Could be your children if you have children. Without children, it could be surviving brothers or sisters. If you have a parent still alive, it could be your parent. So it would devolve under the laws of intestacy to your next of kin.
Can anyone do probate of a will, and why does probate have to be done? It was not needed when my husband died. My home was in both our names when he died. I haven't changed the deed to my name. Should I do that?
Well, firstly, all property that's in joint names passes to the surviving owner of the property. So it doesn't pass under a will as such. However, if there's property in your sole name, that property will pass as directed by your will. Your will have nominated, or should have nominated, an executor, that is the person who you have chosen to execute the will in your behalf. And it is necessary for that person to execute the will, take out a grant of probate, go through the appropriate process, so that that person can then deal with the relevant property. Now, in this case...
But the second question then, two names on the deed, one has passed away. Do you need to change the deed?
Yes, but it's not immediately necessary to do so. The deletion of the details of the deceased joint owner is a fairly simple process, and that can be done at any stage. But it's not immediately necessary to do it, but in due course it will be if the property is to be sold or transferred on to somebody else.
My mother's will stated her money be divided after all just deaths and funeral expenses are paid. Can the executor make the main beneficiary pay a loan, which is a just debt, I suppose?
The answer to that is no. Essentially, the direction in the will is that all debts and liabilities are to be paid before the assets are to be distributed. And there is a priority which assets pay those debts. So in the first instance, the residue of your estate, and that is that part of your estate that isn't specifically designated to a particular person, it's paid out of the residue.
So before any divvy takes place, all just debts are paid.
Absolutely.
And then the divvy. Yeah. So you can't say, well, your man got a lot, he should pay the debt.
No, unless the debt attaches to a specific asset. So if the debt is a mortgage attached to a property, well, obviously that property will attach to that property. But if the debt is not attached to a particular property, then it's paid out of the residue. So you can't come along and say, well, you've got more than me, therefore you should pay the debt.
Okay, so if one of the children, for example, gets the house and there's a mortgage attached to it, that child has got to sort out the mortgage.
Yeah, they take the property subject to the mortgage.
Yeah, okay. My brother died in January, leaving a will. We are trying to get a copy of same. We are siblings of the deceased, but the executors are refusing to give us a copy.
The persons who are entitled to a copy of the will are the executors, and they notify then the persons who are named as beneficiaries in the will of the benefits which they are receiving. There's no obligation.
Suppose you think you're being gypped by the executors because they might have decided that they can do what they like. Your man is dead and don't particularly fancy passing all this cash on to his siblings. So, how do you know you're being treated fairly?
Ultimately, when the will is probated or admitted to probate, it becomes a document of public record. So at that stage, it's possible to get a copy of the will. I think, in truth, if there is a request for a copy of the will and you're a solicitor advising the executors, you should think long and hard about whether or not you should refuse to give a copy of the will to them, to the person, if they're a family member. Because by not passing on a copy of the will, there can lead to all sorts of
Eventually the truth will out. So
correct,
there
will,
you
yes,
are.
Yeah.
My aunt died without a will. She had no spouse, no children. My mother, her sister, wants to deal with her affairs, but a niece is being very bullish about dealing with things and is ignoring my mother. My mother wants to assert her right to deal with things. Who has the right to proceed?
I think in that instance, the mother has the first right to administer the estate. And should she disclaim or renounce her right, then the niece could do so. But the mother would be entitled to proceed.
She's the closest person
to the
deceased.
Exactly.
If a widow dies, a standard will in place dividing assets between both adult offspring, also co-executors, a house is involved, which I live in, and a verbal agreement has been made that this can continue for the medium term at least. If something happened to my sibling, would her spouse then have the automatic right to inherit my sibling's share and thus possibly force a sale? To note, there won't be another generation involved in this instance.
That's an interesting question. I suppose it depends on the validity or enforceability of the verbal agreement that was made between. Was it made between the deceased, the widow, and the child? It would need to be considered carefully as to how that would be dealt with. Ordinarily,
I mean, the old Sam Goldwyn-ism, a verbal agreement is not worth the paper it's written on.
Yeah, I think that might be the problem here. But there may be remedies for that child, but they would want to take advice. Ordinarily, I would say no, essentially, that, unless there's a reason why that agreement or a method by which that agreement can be enforced, I would say no. And then, obviously, then the property has to be dealt with. Each person who's entitled to a share in it is entitled to realise that share. If one of those persons dies and their spouse becomes entitled to their share, well then you're dealing with that person as opposed to the deceased sibling.
Now, another one. I believe there's a 4 to 6 month wait currently for probate to come through from the time it's lodged. If there's an executor's house sale involved and the house is on the market and goes sale agreed, can probate be pushed through any quicker to allow the house sale to be closed?
The answer to that is generally no. I think 4 to 6 months is, I've noticed in recent periods since COVID has settled and as such, that the speed at which grants of probate are issuing are quicker. I think it's really important that solicitors make sure that the papers, when lodged, are absolutely in order, because if they're not, they'll have to be re-sworn, re-prepared and re-lodged. They go back to the bottom of the pile. So I would say 4 months is the outer limit at the moment. I think it's probably a little bit quicker than that. But the answer is no, that there is no real provision for what we call expediting issuance of grants of probate. So if you put the property on the market and you have
to say it's an executor sale subject to probate.
Correct. And you can't close the transaction until such time as probate issues.
I'm willing my house to my son. Can I stipulate that it remains in his sole name for his lifetime? That's from a listener.
I have to say, I don't believe you can. And even if you could, I wouldn't be sure I'd be advising a person to do that.
It may be that this, and it's a mother, doesn't particularly like her son's choice of partner or spouse.
Well, I think that I think these things happen. I don't believe you can do that. I mean, you can put in certain provisions which, as it were, implicitly or indirectly lead to that outcome. So but it mightn't be for his lifetime. For instance, if I leave or transfer a property to my son, but reserve for myself a right to reside in it and that of my spouse for my lifetime, then while both I and my spouse are still alive, well, then the property can't be sold. But that's an indirect way of partially achieving that outcome. But I suppose in broader terms, there's an argument generally about putting restrictions on property, which are sort of lengthy and indefinite, such as what's proposed here. That, yeah. You know, if you want to get a mortgage on the property, you can't.
I suppose the person could put the whole thing into a family trust and down all sorts of rules and regulations that would achieve the same thing. Another one here. We've an only child. We want to gift him a house. Gift group A335. This house is jointly owned. After valuation, how do we transfer this gift without capital acquisitions tax?
By ensuring that the house is worth less than 335,000, there's really no way of avoiding tax in that instance.
But could parents and a child set up a joint tenancy?
They'd
all own the house, and as each one passes on, the shares in the house go to the remainder, and eventually the son, being younger, is logically and statistically going to be the last man standing.
That just defers the actual day of taxation. In a sense, each gift will aggregate with the next gift, and ultimately, if the gifts...
No, but is there not a tenancy in common, you know, that people can have, so that they are all joint owners of the house?
Absolutely, but then within this situation, you only have one child. If you're getting a fifth of a house or a half of a house and it's less than your tax-free threshold as it stands now at 335, well, then there won't be any tax. But if you're an only child and the house is worth €500,000, well, then there's going to be tax.
Yeah. I'm just wondering whether, you know, this situation where someone inherits a house that they've been living in all their lives and they simply don't have the resources to pay tax, is there not a situation whereby, since it's their home, they can live in that house without having to find the money somewhere to pay the tax?
There is a relief, but it's quite limited. And I think there has to be a certain degree of dependency involved. But in the ordinary situation, if there is no unusual factor at play, there is no relief.
Could you ask your solicitor, as a family, how to convince her mother, who's 88, to do power of attorney? She and many of her friends of that generation are very hesitant about it. We've discussed the way it's done and all the advantages that would accrue to her, but she's not willing to bend.
Well, first of all, I think you should encourage your mother to meet with her solicitor and have discussion in relation to her affairs in general, her will, and the possibility of him putting in place an enduring power of attorney. I think if a solicitor takes the time and has the patience to, independently and objectively advise the person, that they will see the merit in putting place an enduring power of attorney. I mean, a lot of people, as they get older, the reality is, for a lot of people, making a will or making an enduring power of attorney is an admission of their mortality, and most of us don't like to admit it. But it is a very, very useful document to have in place. And the alternative, if there isn't an enduring power of attorney, is that the person may have to be made a ward of court.
Okay. I want to do this last one very briefly. If you're married but separated, living apart, the wife dies with no children, is the husband, who's separated, entitled to half of the wife's assets, even if there's a will made saying he gets nothing?
If you're married but separated and there's no separation agreement in place, then the normal rules of succession apply. And if there's a will in place which doesn't leave Well, first of all, the answer is yes. You're entitled to your legal right share where there are no children of one half of the spouse's estate. If the spouse had made some provision for the other spouse in the will, well, then the other spouse would have to elect to take either what is in the will or his or her legal right share, which is one half if there are no children, or one third if there are children.
All right, we'll leave it there. Christopher Callan, Head of Wills and Estate Planning at Callan Tansey Solicitors. So many, Christopher, we'll have to have you back, and fairly soon as well, because we haven't had time to go through all the questions. So, a reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.